WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
The road to WrestleMania, it's getting clearer. You can see the direction. Clear signs on that road. They're all coming into focus as we continue to travel down it. Everything's fine, Chet. Everything's fine. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSocket to Fortnite item shop or Lindsay Ward as hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh, we kicked things off tonight, didn't we?
We did. We got a direction. You can see it somewhat. Some of the signs are not as clear, but a lot of them, you can see where we're heading. You can see how many miles till we get to this one and this one and this one. We're seeing the direction start to come into play, which is good. It needed to happen.
It did.
One of the biggest things that happened on this show was, well, Dominic Mysterio calling out Finn Balor. Dom had Liv and Raquel. They were looking for Dom, or looking for Finn, was Dom, and they couldn't find him. So airing it out in front of the public. So he calls out Finn Balor. Finn and JD come out. Dom's like, I hope you got me my title match. I need it, my rematch. Balor asked Dom, got it all your system, all the complaining? Because he was complaining that if it wasn't for Finn, he would be the Intercontinental Champion. And Finn's like, yeah, you still would be the Intercontinental Champion, you know, if it weren't for me. But, you know, sometimes, Dom, sometimes you gotta learn a lesson. And we're a family. Sorry, but I was trying to help you. I was trying to teach you the lesson. We've always had your back, Dom. But you, I also remember you saying you want to be the greatest Mysterio of all time. But to be the best, to be the greatest luchador, to be the greatest Mysterio, you have to fight your own battles. And for 2 years, I've tried to guide you, Dom, tried to help you. But the more I realized, the more I try to help, the more I realize that maybe your father was right. Maybe you're just a spoiled little prick. Dom shoves Finn. Finn looks like he's going to take off his jacket. hits the Pele kick, goes after Dom, gets pulled away by JD. Hits Dom with the sling blade, though. He goes for the drop kick, but JD clotheslines Finn. Liv immediately goes for the punches. Kel chimed in with more. They're all beating down Finn Balor. Dom gets a chair. Dom gets the hammer. Finn tries to fight back, but gets knocked in the head with the bell hammer. Dom puts the hammer in the sneaker. Hits him with the 619 with the hammer in the shoe. Frog splash. JD beats him down with the chair. Frog splash. Onto the chair. Onto Finn Balor. The Judgment Day stands tall without Finn Balor. Finally.
I was going to say, they've been teasing it for forever. Like, either the full breakup of the Judgment Day or the Judgment Day breaking up in partiality. And with Finn's new independent streak, with them pushing him, it was very evident that at some point Finn was going to be removed from the Judgment Day and they were going to move on without him. We now have the turn, which makes Finn Balor a face, and they being WWE, can do whatever they like with him. Now that he is singles, he'll likely feud with Dom before heading out. Or possibly JD or the whole group. Who knows? We've been waiting on this one. I was happy to see it tonight because it puts Finn in a good position potentially for WrestleMania, for him to get a match on the card, for him to be solo on the card. This was well done. I like this quite a lot.
Yeah, I think in the match we could see the Demon show up. I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago that it kind of has that feeling that Dom would have to fight his demon at WrestleMania, and without the Intercontinental title, that is a big spectacle moment that you can pull in. I don't know for sure, but you could go in that direction. Maybe he'll cost Dom his mega title too. I don't know, but I know for sure that there's a better chance of the demon showing up.
I think if you're gonna do it, Mania is the place to do it because we haven't seen the demon in a long time. And we know that worked for Finn. And I think you could do a variation therein of what he was doing in NXT, what he's doing now. And then you mix the demon in for when he's going to wrestle and it comes out on special occasions. It doesn't have to be every PLE, but for shows like Mania, yes, absolutely. Finn lets the demon go and he goes for Dom and he just starts going for people. And I mean, honestly, it could almost apply like the Fiend concept, kind of what they did with that to the Fiend, to the demon, and it would work. They'd have to do a little magics backstage, but they could make it happen. So yeah, I think we will see the return, because isn't there a Fortnite crossover coming up?
No, I don't think there's a crossover. There could be. I mean, there was a tweet, but that doesn't mean there's anything actually happening
that we know of.
But again, they could do something for WrestleMania with the demon in Fortnite. You know, Fortnite has many collaborations that they're bringing in to the video game. Use the codes #EpicPartners, including the return of a foundation. So we all know what he was cooking the last time he was in the game.
Yep.
So, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe more Rock later, too. Who knows? And then we'll talk about it in a minute. Obafemi Rusev, two beefy men slapping meat, and Oba slapped the shit out of Rusev in this one.
Oh my God, did he? Like, holy shit. I'll take it again. Number one, I'll take it again. But two, God, that was brutal. It's awesome. Yeah, I wish it was longer too, because this is honestly, I think, the best Rusev has looked since his return.
I mean, this was even though it was a 3-minute match. He's looked better than this. He's had better performances, but
like, this was very enjoyable.
Oh, it was a good 3-minute match, but it could have gone longer. Yes, but it made its point that Obafemi is dominant, which is kind of the main point. Oba needs to be dumb. So here we are. One of the big things that happened on this show was the crowning of a new number one contender for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. We had a gauntlet, which featured Lyra Valkyria and Io Sky. Io beat Lyra. Then it was Io versus Raquel. Io would beat Raquel when Liv was out there and Stephanie was out there. Stephanie took care of Liv. Continuing that, Stephanie had a solid little video promo as well afterward. The follow-up to Liv from last week. But Raquel was not happy, so she destroyed Io, giving Ivy Nile an easy win over Io, eliminating her. This brought out Bayley. Bayley beat Ivy, which led to Asuka. Kyrie tried to get involved. Lyra helped, stopped it. Bayley wins, and is now the number one contender for the Women's Intercontinental Championship next week in San Antonio.
Bayley versus AJ for free?
Free? It's Netflix, so it's not really free. So,
but free-ish. It's not on the ESPNs.
It's not on ESPNs, yes, but it's still... It's on television. It's on television, not a PLE. So it's not free. You can't call it free because it's Netflix.
He's arguing semantics.
Because it's truthful semantics. It's not free. Netflix is not free.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, if you have Comcast, it can be. But that's a different. That's a completely different rabbit hole that we're not going to go down.
I mean, ESPN is more free than Netflix is Comcast.
I mean, I'll take it. Like, I will not complain about that. May it close the show, because that's going to be fun as hell to watch. I just like how AJ, when they announced the Gauntlet match, posted out a meme that was, "I'm in danger."
I mean, she asked for it, so... No. I'm curious if they go around Becky costing AJ the title against Bayley as a callback of when AJ did that to Becky, and when possibly have Lyra turn heel to face Bayley for the SCT. I mean, I know that probably won't happen. I don't think we see all of that. I don't think Becky cost AJ the title because Becky wants the title back. Bayley and Lyra had a backstage thing, you know. Bayley said, maybe we'll run it back and run again when I win the title. And then, you know, Bayley's jumping for joy in the inside. You could tell because she gets to fight AJ, and Bayley's been trying for a decade to get AJ to come back and fight her. So now she gets it next week on Raw for a title for quote unquote free. There are air quotes.
I know. I heard.
This week has more about ending AJ's career rather. No, I don't think it's about ending AJ's career than the title. If you read her Twitter, she's about the title. She's packing back what is hers.
Yeah.
But I think, and I've said this on multiple occasions, to get the match, Becky probably has to put something up against AJ, and we'll see how that goes as we move on. Penta, speaking of the Intercontinental Championship, Penta was going to defend his against the original El Grande Americano. But the original El Grande Americano was backstage, ran into Danhausen, who tried to look touch the mask and see who it was. Americano says, "You don't touch a luchador's mask." Danhausen cursed the original El Grande Americano. Penta comes to the ring ready to defend his title. Then all of a sudden, it is not the original El Grande Americano. It's the current El Grande Americano. And the current Grande Americano fought Penta for the Intercontinental title. Good match.
Mm-hmm. Very good match.
Penta retained. That I will say, I did like the curse and then switching out the Grande Americanos. I like that bit.
That was good. That was entertaining. I think they are making up for Danhausen's debut by using him correctly backstage. I think for right now, it works.
He's a good... He's a good comedic foil, and it kind of adds to storyline elements without really damaging them. So that's a good way to use him. He's like, he can influence them, but it really doesn't change what they were already doing. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you were going to make a point?
No, just that, like, it's good for right now, but at some point, obviously, it will have to change because it's going to get old. But I'm not sure what else you do with Danhausen right now, other than just have him going around and being a menace. I think that's kind of the best way to use him, because you're going to have to do a really slow introduction with him, and this is a way that people can get to know him and learn to like him. And of course, he's back out on social, and he's been doing his thing out on social, which if you follow him, you'll get to know him that way as well, because he's very active, or he was. I think he's now getting back into it. I think there's all good things there. I liked, honestly, what I really thought was hilarious was after, like, Danhausen did the curse, you had the other two in the back, like, doing the very exaggerated walks. He looked stupid as hell, but it was really funny.
And that's what happened. He got beat down, and then El Grande replaced him. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good.
It's good. Adam Pearce was talking to Javon Evans, praised him. Kofi and Grayson showed up. Kofi wanted to speak to Javon. He said, "We got off the wrong foot. You remind me of me. I also believe I could become world champion, and I did. You just need the right team." Javon didn't seem very interested. "You don't have the answer right now. Tell him to think about it. You know, maybe Kofi could help out Javon."
Don't
maybe.
Do it, Javon. Don't do it.
There was a Netflix interview with Natty, and Natty got attacked by Maxine.
I know they're trying. Legit, I know they're trying with that, but it almost feels like it's just a little too late on it. You know,
they will get a match at some point, and there will be a conclusion, and it will not be at WrestleMania.
No, we will not be at WrestleMania.
So I talked in the intro, like, we clear road signs of what direction. They're on the off ramp somewhere on the road. There's an
they're at the rest stop.
They're an early exit. Before we
they're
get
at the
there.
Waffle House.
Maybe they're there. We'll get there.
Or no. What's like a good roadside restaurant that you can only get eating off the interstate?
I could not tell you.
They're there. Does anybody really care about it? I think people care about it. Like, I think people would care more if they had done more in the onset. But I think people do care about it because there are obviously people who are into it. They're fans of it. It just doesn't do anything for me. I don't think it does anything for Rock because at this stage, huh?
They tried. They got Maxine to a point where they tried. She won a title, and then that was the peak. Can't.
Well, it's not even about... It's more just the Natty Maxine story, because, like, you... We talked about it last week. They shit the bed on terms of debuting the new gimmick. And at this stage, the new gimmick is a moot point.
It would mean more if Natty was beating up AJ, or Bayley, or Lyra.
Yeah.
One of the other baby faces. Maxine got her peak, and Natty was off TV too long for the relationship between Natty and Maxine to really people to really care, because they would reference Natty but never see Natty, and then Natty just shows back up, ha ha, I'm back, ha ha, and then does the turn. There wasn't enough emotional investment, and you needed, again, Maxine peak as a character. She's improved, but the character got to her point, the peak point, and the peak point was, yeah, she did it, but. Not everyone cared enough, and that's where we are. That's why no one's caring about the story. No one's caring that Natty's beating her down weekly, or when she gets revenge. And it shows something. They did it during the commercial break with a highlight package, then putting it live on television. But at least it made TV. Monday Night Raw opened with Adam Pearce. He had unfortunate business to talk about. He called out Seth Rollins. A mystery man appears on the announce table. And over a dozen others showed up. You have all these mystery men roaming around the ring and getting in the ring and... Which one is Rollins? Which one is he? Seth Rollins steps forward, unmasked, goes eye to eye with Pierce. Pierce said, we see eye to eye on one thing, we don't like division. Masked man attacking also was unacceptable. Pierce and Rollins is medically care question what would happen if the division members got their hands on Rollins. Theory and Logan Paul come out. Theory said there's a bullet with Seth's name on it. Paul and Theory climbed in the ring. They want to end him. Rollins puts the mask on. All the other men get in the ring. They shuffle around. So you don't know which one Seth Rollins was. Rollins exited the ring. LA Knight came out. He fought with Austin Theory and Logan Paul. They got the numbers advantage. Usos came out and made the save.
I will agree that the masked men, like the multitude of masked men, the many masked men, the merry masked men, was a bit much.
It was
like you could have just had Rollins come out.
No. I'll say this. I like the fact that he used all the masked men. He shouldn't have taken the mask off. He should have stayed blended in with the crowd of masked men. So you didn't actually know which one was it, even though you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But he should have been he should have always been surrounded by them, and you would never have known which one was him at that point. Because that's the only way that would work. You could talk about the way you could tie this in with all the masked men. And they did use one or two, I think, from his school, is that they're all his kids from school, and that's why they're all protecting him. That, from a logical standpoint, would make sense why he would have all these people readily available to him at all times.
Maybe
it's a way to make it make sense. Beyond that, it was goofy.
Realistically, he doesn't need like people, like he could pay people to do it, right? Like it wouldn't even need to be like kids from his school, right? It's just, you know, he's paying people to do it. He has the resources and to be able to do that because he's Seth Rollins, right? Like it kind of plays into the character that, you know, like he has hit that stage in his career where he can afford to do something like that. I don't know. Like, I think him blending in, it would work better if like he hadn't revealed who he was. But then again, Seth's voice is so distinct. It would be very hard not to know it's him.
He wasn't talking, so you could have kept it secret. He just stood there. Like you could have kept him for this week. You could have kept him hidden, but they didn't. So they wanted the pop, and they got.
I know they did.
Crowd loved it. So I mean, that's all that really mattered.
The peoples loved it.
I hope this has become a new gimmick for him, where he's always has these masked men. No, I think it's a way to protect him till Mania, just to
wait. I got it. It's his shield.
You see what she did there, Chet? It's his tie-ins, callbacks. All the thing. Anyway, Speaking of S.H.I.E.L.D., CM Punk comes up to close the show. He wasn't sure what kind of reaction he would get, but he got a good one. He hyped the crowd up by mentioning the Seahawks. Punk said he thought the fans might be mad at him, but here one thing in particular last week was he said was disrespect. Punk, you know, Punk's okay, so that Reigns has never respected him. He goes, hold your breath, he might show up. He talked about the World Heavyweight title and was created because Reigns wasn't defending his title frequently enough. Punk said he defended the title. He's been defending champion. He's been a workhorse champion. And every time he defends it, he levels the belt up. He levels up this place up. And that's what he's been doing. So when you get in the ring with him, you have to level up. But last week, he lowered himself to the Roman Reigns level. This brought out the Usos. Jay demands an apology from Punk. Jimmy's trying to hold him. Jimmy playing the con man. Come on. Punk asks why Roman was still sending his cousin to do his heavy lift. Jay continues to demand the apology. Jimmy says it has nothing to do with Roman Reigns, but everything to do with respect. Jimmy said he's a lot of respect for Sam. He said Punk says what's on his mind, speaks from the heart. He runs through all the walls, you know, does all the things. You talk all trash about Roman Reigns all you want, but he disrespected their late uncle. You call yourself the voice of the voiceless? He has no voice. So apologize. Punk said Jimmy was right. He said Jay was coming in hot, but he was right that Sika doesn't have a voice. And, you know, I know you guys are religious, you believe all the things. And Punk asked if they believed their uncle could hear them. Yeah. He respects Sika. He didn't know him well as knew Afa. He worked for Afa in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He learned from the Samoan learning tree. You know, he stood and learned in the back of pickup trucks. He didn't get paid anything, but he got paid with knowledge. He said it was, you know, privileged to do so. Get the knowledge from Samu. Punk said everyone in their family has shown him respect except for that one son of a bitch. Punk said if Sika can hear them, then he sees what a gaslighting, egotistical, plastic politician that Reigns is. Jay's getting pissed off. They're like, say you're sorry. Crowd chants, say you're sorry. Punk shakes Jimmy's hand, shakes Jay's hand, and he says he was sorry. He was sorry that Roman Reigns treated them and the rest of the family like garbage for years and never came out once to apologize. Reigns disrespected Dusty Rhodes by calling him irrelevant. But he didn't have to come out and apologize, but I do. Punk said he's sorry that Reigns tricked the Usos and the rest of the world into thinking he gives a damn about any of this. This place, these people, you guys, anyone. If he cared, he'd be in this ring talking to him rather than his young boys. Jay shoves Punk. Jimmy drops him with a right hand. Jimmy calmly pulls Jay away. Punk is down on the mat, looking at him. To end Monday Night Raw. They're turning into the bloodline again, where Jay is the hothead and Jimmy is the cool one. I mean, that's always been the case. That's not even their bloodline act. Jay's always been the hothead.
Yeah.
Of the thing. As he once would say, tell him when he's telling lies. I mean, all Punk did was talk trash about Roman after they said he could and they were still mad at him. I mean, fair. I like that they made the callback that something you've been talking about for years, the Jay apology from Roman, and how it never came. And
right?
Brought it all back a full circle. It's there. It's like not they acknowledged it. It's existent.
Fucking acknowledge me, finally. Jesus.
Took them long enough.
Right? Like, damn. But no, everything Punk said is accurate. Everything Punk said is accurate. And Roman has not, in my opinion, completely done enough to win Jay's trust back in particular. Just because of all of the things that happened to Jay, but Jay is willing to trust because Jimmy's on board. Like, Jay is willing to fix all this. And we had that great moment where they hugged in the ring and it's like, oh, yay, everything's good again. But Roman never apologized for anything he ever did to Jay specifically. And we know all the horrible things he did to Jay. And it is, by definition, abuse that happened. So, like, if Jay is willing to trust, that's on Jay. But Punk is pointing out the truth. Like, he's not telling any lies about Roman. It's Roman's just playing a game. And Roman's doing what he needs to do to get back to where he wants to be, which is on top. So if he has to be humble, if he has to play nice with the family, if he has to do this, if he has to do that, he'll do it, right? Because we know that Roman knows how to play the game. He did it for years in the bloodline. And that was an education for him in and of itself, where now potentially you could reform that without Paul Heyman. And instead of it more being a formal group, you just kind of have like Jimmy and Jay backing Roman, and Roman shows up when he needs to. But ultimately, Jimmy and Jay are essentially the shields for Roman, and they take the brunt of like the work, and they have to deal with all the BS. And then Roman just kind of comes in and does his thing and leaves, which was in the bloodline.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think at this point, because they mentioned it, The man brings up, well, I hope they're not reforming the bloodline because somebody's panicking and going back to old acts. I don't think they're going back to the bloodline. I don't think they're doing that because they clearly mentioned this has nothing to do with Roman. This is him disrespecting their family, which supersedes anything to do with Roman. You and Roman have all your issues, but now you have issues with us that don't involve Roman Reigns. You disrespected our family.
But how did Punk disrespect the family?
He was going to bury Sika next, Roman next to Sika. That's disrespecting their late uncle. That's disrespecting the family.
No, it's not. Disrespecting Roman, but it's not disrespecting. You're saying that like burying the son next to the father is disrespectful?
The way he said it, yeah.
I've seen worse acts of disrespect.
I've seen worse, but I see why they're pissed off.
It's a stretch. I see it. I get it. Trust me, I understand it. But to me, that is a stretch because I've seen worse, I've heard worse, and I think Punk could have said worse to extend to the family proper, right? Like, that's the whole thing, is it's not Roman, it's the family. Which even then, like, disrespecting Sika is disrespecting Sika. It's not disrespecting the family.
But he didn't apologize for the line. He apologized sarcastically for all the things Roman was did. He never actually apologized.
There's a lot of that going around.
There is, but he never actually apologized.
I think the question is an apology even warranted? Because, again, it's, you're really getting hot about nothing. Like, Jay said worse to Roman. Jay basically told the entire family to go fuck off at one point in the bloodline. Like, his brother, his father, you know, everybody, right? Because everybody backed Roman and nobody backed Jay. So Jay told the family to go F off, that he wanted nothing more to do with them. Like, to me, that is a larger slight than what Punk said and is more in line to be apologized for than what Punk said.
I guess so, but I also see why they would be mad.
I can see why they would be mad, but it's a stretch. Like, that mad to go. Like, here's the thing. I can see how you would go out and you would raise the issue, but to go out hot like that and, like, be there purely to pick a fight, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. And maybe that's a you need to go talk to somebody about that, because that's like an anger management thing where it's, if even the slightest thing sets you off, that's a you problem that you need to get addressed.
So do you think this will eventually see Punk's point of view? Yeah.
Because
they'll realize he was right about Roman. They'll tell the story, I believe. If they don't,
this has legs.
They have legs for this. That's it. They have legs for the story. And if they don't tell it, then I'll say they didn't tell it. But they have the ability to tell the story.
Yeah, this is going to go beyond Mania. I can already tell you that right now. This is going to be one of the main running plot lines that comes in and out throughout the year as Roman comes in and out and as Punk is kind of around. They're going to continue to tell this story because it's going to be Punk takes a shot at Roman and whatever happens, happens. And then Punk's going to feud with the Usos. And then Roman will eventually come back in.
We shall see. But that was Raw.
A lot of setup on this show. A lot of really good things that happened on the show. Very enjoyable. It moved, which was nice.
It did. So, yeah. That was Raw. Should mention, maybe, if they're disrespecting a bloodline. What about a final boss?
I mean, Punk versus Dwayne?
I wouldn't say Punk versus. I wouldn't say there's a match. I'm just saying. Verbal confrontation. You never know. It'd be spicy for Madison Square Garden. I'm just saying.
It would be. It would be very spicy.
Just throwing that out there. It happens, it happens. I don't know if it will, but, you know. I mean, rumors are about Roman Rock and WrestleMania next year. Lands. They've been for about 5 years. Anyway, they'll do it for the Raw Show live right here on the Wild Talk. Radio Network live Thursday for the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have a discussion. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Lamans, So can TKO. It's up to 20.
Given the current climate of things in specific regions that we're not going to talk about because it might get us in trouble, that's a TBD. Because I don't think anybody's going anywhere for the time being.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio. Sunday night, they're back for Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern for Build a WrestleMania. So, chat. I'm gonna throw this out there. Look back at the last 41 years of WrestleMania and build yourself the perfect 8-match card. One main event from all 41 years, one opener, can only have a title defended once. Build your card for WrestleMania. That's what they're doing this Sunday on Wrestle Talk Radio. Find the best 8 matches you can put together. And you can only use the same person. You can only use the same person once.
Bonus points for a tuxedo match. I'm just saying.
Was there a tuxedo match at WrestleMania?
There could be.
It has to have happened. That's the thing. You have to use all the matches from the past and recreate the perfect WrestleMania.
I have to Google this now.
So, unless you want Howard Finkel in a tuxedo match. There you go. We'll talk about that Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, we'll be back for the Raw Post Show as we get on the road to WrestleMania for 316 Day. So, chat, remember the last time there was a 316 Day? On a Monday?
Been a minute.
Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Everyone should. Because there was no one on Raw. No one at Raw that night.
Was that the snowstorm?
It was the start of the pandemic.
Oh, that's right. I blacked that from my mind at this point.
Steve Austin and Byron Saxon were celebrating 316 Day together at the PC.
Like you do.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop at GameStore, because there's a new season of Fortnite coming up in 10 days. And they'll have a foundation, an Ice King, and some sort of bunny, I think. Tune in. A bunny.
Like a bad bunny?
Not a bad bunny.
Not a bad bunny?
Not a bad bunny. This one's more animated. Some would say loony. This has been the Raw. Your socials. Go ahead.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmonLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
Now, this has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rocket, right back here every Monday night. Well, there it is. Although I'll talk. Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.